Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pulse! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Go download the Locker Room app right now, available for iOS and Android devices. We do Locker Rooms every single week there, so join us as we do our mailbag or just kind of reacting to this offseason. I'm very excited for our Locker Rooms over the next couple of months, Matt, so go download the Locker Room app right now. How are you? Back to hear from one of the most important people in this organization, and that's AK. But first, how are you, man?
I'm great, Jordan. I'm great. What's up, Bulls Nation? You know why I'm great? Because we're about to break down postseason comments that we've heard from who? Not John Paxson. Not Gar Foreman. I can't wait. I am elated that we are talking about the Bulls head of basketball ops doing his postseason press conference, and that person is not John Paxson. Could not be more thrilled.
What's happened?
It does feel weird because he just talked like 2 months ago, but that's just because of the weird scheduling, the way the schedule has lined up. Felt like we didn't hear from him for a really long time, and then we did. Yes, I'm very excited as well. I thought his comments were very good, and shout out to the Bulls too. Got to give them some props. Thanks for allowing the players to speak for 15, 20 minutes apiece. At least for you and I, as like diehard Bulls fans, it was cool to hear from them. And same thing with Billy Donovan talking for a half hour and then going to a bunch of radio shows yesterday morning. All of that being said, Matt, let's hear from AK. Let's first start with his opening statement. Actually, before I do that, let's set it up this way. Did you expect anything coming in? Was there anything that was unanswered, or what were your expectations hearing from him?
I mean, I think it went pretty close to as I expected it, because he was asked some questions by media of would you consider this, you know, this conclusion to the season without the playoffs, not even the play-in, a disappointment, especially considering you traded for an all-star at the trade deadline. I was expecting that question. And I think for the most part, I got the answer from Arturas that I was expecting, which was a logical one. So, I mean, nothing blew me away. Nothing really surprised me, but in a much happier way than when nothing would surprise us when we would hear from this team's former executives.
Oh, it was like at one point I kind of felt bad. It was just like they knew they were going there for 30 minutes, and all they were going to do was, well, in some sense, it felt like an interrogation, as some would put it. But let's hear KK's opening statement after this season, his first season, along with Donovan, Mark Eversley, and a handful of other people in the organization. Here's what he had to say before he took questions.
Our three constant problems, actually indicated by Billy as well, you know, on the floor were turnovers. We were 27th in turnovers, fouling and not getting to the free throw line. And we are last in the league in getting to the free throw line. So that's aggression. I think following All-Star break, we took a significant significant dip on offense. We stopped making shots when your defense efficiency is in the 20s. Now, actually, we finished defensively 12th in the league in efficiency. You have to make shots to win games, and we did not do that. A goal moving forward is to have more balanced play. Not trading offensive energy for defensive or vice versa. It was a blessing to work with Billy this year, especially during these challenging times. Once we take some time off, Mark, Billy, and I will get together and we'll evaluate and try to analyze the season and formulate a plan. At this point in time, I cannot tell you what the plan is going to look like, but I can tell you that we'll look at every possible way to improve the team. You cannot skip steps. So the greatest lessons are learned through experience, what doesn't work. We have to grow from going through what we went through this year and move forward to gain respect in this league. We are certainly not satisfied, but we will learn from it, adjust, and make sure what did not go well does not happen again. I wanted to indicate that we placed expectations on our team about winning games. Again, it came up in a lot of presses from Billy, and we found a lot about yourself. I like that every game down the stretch felt like playoffs and constant pressure to grow. Unfortunately, we didn't handle it effectively or consistently. In that, I see tremendous room and need for growth and improvement. We will continue being aggressive in our efforts to make this team better, whether that's through trades, free agency, or the draft. We will not settle for mediocrity here. We have an important summer coming up. We will evaluate the season and line up our priorities for the offseason.
It's crazy to think that it's a little over a year, Matt, but he's said that multiple times now, that we will not settle for mediocrity. I truly believe him. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday and trying to have a little bit of faith in the players and what they're saying to us, and especially the two most important players to this team right now being Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. AK saying the same thing and repeating those same things, I think, is worth mentioning as well. You brought it up in yesterday's episode, but I thought it was a very, very honest and powerful first 2 minutes in addressing a lot of the things that I think he was already knew he was going to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, nothing about those comments from him sounded like someone who was satisfied with the result of this season. Clearly, he was disappointed just as much as I'm sure most of our listeners were, that they're not getting ready to play, a play-in right now. It's unfortunate. But I'm encouraged by the fact that he is aware of what the team needs. He's aware of what the team lacks and is certainly sounding like someone who is driven to fix as many of those problems this offseason as he can so that Zach and Vooch are not wasted next season.
Is it weird to say that maybe they weren't as critical about some of the things that they fell short of this season because a third of the roster is different? Like some of those guys, especially when AK talked at the beginning of March, some of those guys that were moved, I think were what some of the things that he was referencing is like, whether it be guys aren't strong mentally when they face challenges within games, guys aren't consistent enough. Otto Porter Jr. like those things, I think he talked about though, and then backed it up with a trade when things didn't change over the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to remind myself it's a different way to think about the way that this Bulls team is being created and the things that they're saying to us. Not everything do I think AK says to us is I should take it with 100% truth, because he's doing things to ultimately make the Bulls team better. He can't say certain things, but I think the overall trust level I have in him and Mark Eversley and Billy Donovan, I mean, it goes without saying 100 times fold of what I had just even a year ago from the past regime.
Yeah. And you know, as we were discussing yesterday, is there anything that has been disappointing to you under the first year and a half of this new regime of AK and Eversley? And I mean, not making the playoffs this year, I guess a little disappointed. Did I expect them to make the playoffs this year when this season started? No. So I can't say that I was that disappointed compared to my expectations, even with the trades that we saw, because that's, as Donovan and AK laid out themselves, and as even Vooch admitted to, that wasn't exactly an immediate help. In some ways, it hindered them upon their immediate arrival. So knowing that we have seen some quality things on Eversley's resume, on Arturas's resume before coming here, knowing that they are widely respected around the league, and knowing that so far I like what they've done, I'm okay that they decided to trade Wendell. Gafford stung a little bit because he was my guy and I loved watching him. But, you know, you took Otto Porter Jr. and Wendell and you turned it into an all-star who's in his prime right now. And, yeah, it cost you a couple of picks. But how many picks do we have here, there, and everywhere who have been disappointing so far? And the pick that they made, speaking of the things that they've done so far, Patrick Williams, I am ecstatic about.
It's interesting. I saw our buddy Mark Kay point that out too, and it was like kind of a reality check for myself as well, is the way that we think about what we ultimately want as a fan. I've said it multiple times. I don't want to sit around like the Lakers did or the Celtics did, or for the fact that the Knicks did, where they played this game of trying to develop their own star and it turned into this cycle of mediocrity is what it was, and people settling for what's potentially next instead of seeing what's right in front of you. That more so going towards the LaVine stuff and the Vooch stuff is like, oh, we can find somebody better. I have to think about it differently now. And so, like he is saying, I have full trust, and I do have to admit one thing before we hear again from AK. I did have genuine disappointment, at least for 24 to 48 hours, on one specific thing. That was the Patrick Williams draft pick. I will admit it was mostly because I didn't know much about him, and I was devastated that LaMelo went the pick before we did. But
right. I mean, I'm with you. If you recall, I really wanted them to take a point guard. Whether it was Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton, I would have been stoked for either of those guys. Knowing and assuming that we weren't going to trade up and get LaMelo. So that being the case, I was a little bummed, but when we heard a couple of days leading up to the draft, like, oh, the Bulls are looking pretty hard at P-Dub, I was like, oh, really? Maybe that's smoke, maybe it's not. Either way, I went back and watched more P-Dub tape, and I was like, okay. Like, not an immediate need on the roster, but okay, I get it. And guess what? With Otto's departure, with Hutch's departure, Denzel's out of here, we'll see what we have at Troy Brown Jr., but the wing, where P-Dub can play, is the position of need. And with the expected departure of one Lauri Markkanen, the four is also a need, and he plays that position. So turns out you still got to figure out what you're doing at the point guard spot, but they nailed kind of two positions of need with one player in that pick. Jordan, you said we've got more AK to get you, and I can't wait. Before, though, wanted to tell all of you about Locker Room. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with myself and Jordan, other Bulls fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We're going to be hosting a Locker Room later this week, a Locked On Bulls Locker Room, and you can join in on the conversation that you listen to here on Locked On Bulls every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the NBA. You'll find fans just like you, just like Jordan and myself, on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. With off-season Bulls stuff, that should be fun. With these upcoming NBA playoffs, Locker Rooms will be fun. You'll have a chance to chat with us, might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Bulls podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join us for our next Locker Room later this week. And by the way, to all of my fellow Android people out there, the Android version of the Locker Room app, the beta app, is now available. So go to your Android app store and download the beta Locker Room app. And of course, for all of you that have iOS, you silly people, it's been available for you since day one. So go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on iOS and Android devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA groups for the latest league updates. You can follow me, follow Jordan, same as our Twitter handles, Bulls_Peck, Jordan C. Malley, to be notified when our Locked On Bulls rooms go live. I know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, we'll be doing one later this week, so be there when you get that alert. And you need that follow to get that alert. Can't wait to hear all of your thoughts on the Bulls' end to the season. See you there, Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
All right, let's take a listen to the bulk of what AK had to say, and this is most importantly a lot of what we were trying to get answers on. While I won't say I was fully satisfied, I was pretty damn satisfied. So let's take a listen to what AK had to say.
Hey, one of the things you talked about was that focus of winning. And I think that message has kind of been relayed by all the players that we've spoken to throughout the year and even today and Billy throughout the year. When you evaluate that trade, obviously it was a big trade, a big swing. Do you look at it as immediately it could be a swing and a miss with the hope that long term there's something to come out of it momentum wise, whether it's this current group or the message it's sent to rest of the league that this could be a destination place? I mean, how are you assessing it right now, especially if that pick goes to Orlando in a talented 21 draft class? I mean, it would seem like that would sting even more.
Yeah, I mean, the disappointing is short term, which is, you know, we assume that if you add another all-star to your roster, usually you get better and improve your record. It's a result-driven business. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but we are happy to add Vooch in this equation. I mean, in all this process for last 2 months, I mean, Tyus got a pretty good role. Troy got a little bit, you know, a lot of those players that we got in trade, they helped us in the second half. But in terms of moving forward, exciting. It's very seldom you get an opportunity to add an all-star. And we obviously went after it.
You mentioned the plan earlier, saying you don't know what the plan will look like. And I don't ask this to be flippant. Is there a plan in place in terms of building this roster? Or is it more kind of like you did and admitted to us with the Vucevic trade? It kind of came... an opportunity presented itself and you guys jumped at it. So what is the plan moving forward? And the biggest question is, because you gave up the assets at the deadline, what tools do you feel you have available now to move forward and improve the team?
Well, we still, let's say, depends on obviously lottery odds. And if we don't get our pick, we still have a second round pick, and we have a free agency and trades to get better. We have a lot of free agents this year. I think leading to August 1st is going to be huge preparation for us. Next 2 months will be big. Again, after short stoppage here, we will reconvene again. We'll spend time with Mark and Billy. Talk about the season, what we could have done better. And then, again, next 2 months is going to be prep work for the draft and for free agency. I think, like I said, you know, when you have foundation of, let's say, two all-stars in one place, I think it's easier to add additional things what we need. So we're going to discuss the needs of the team and we'll attack it during free agency.
How do you plan to approach Lauri Markkanen's restricted free agency?
Well, you know, I got... limited stuff that I can obviously permit to comment regarding that. But I thought Lowry had a good year. I thought he was more efficient. You know, he's a 40% three-point shooter. You know, it's, shooting comes at a premium in our league. And I think Lowry is an essential part of our team, and we hope he's part of what we are building here. So I'm looking forward to free agency and talking to his representation.
What do you like about Kobe's growth this year and Patrick kind of specifically going into next year? How good do you think he can sort of make a leap in just 1 year's time?
Well, Kobe went through a lot this year, I think. Ups and downs. You know, I think there was a lot of growth. He faced adversity from being, playing the position of point guard. He hasn't played it before. Learning on a fly. Lack of practice time. Actually, just wanted to point out, since trade deadline, we had one practice. And that practice happened actually... before back-to-back games, Boston and Charlotte and Boston games, both we won. So we had only one practice since trade deadline. So just the lack of time and, you know, for them to learn during games, then, you know, making those changes in terms of lineups and Kobe coming off the bench and then coming back again to being a starter, adjusting to addition of Vooch that settled his game a little bit to catch and shoot, minimize his turnovers. I think it's a great year for Kobe overall, I think. And again, he's going to have a big summer. He knows exactly what he needs to work on. And, you know, he's a great young man. Regarding Patrick, I think we're very excited for him. He's been through a ton this year, learning experience, 19 years old. I don't think there's a player on the team that wasn't asked to do more than Patrick. I think he guarded always the best player the other team. And defensively, he was actually switching and playing different coverages, different positions. You know, when you do pick and roll coverages as a primary defender and then as a big defender. So there was a lot of flying at him. I think is a very unique case in my mind. Player usually, you know, I think I brought it up before, but usually when you get a young player, you build this arsenal, you know, you add certain things to skill set. But Pat has a lot of those skills. He's just when he's going to choose to use them, you know, and we saw glimpses in, you know, even Brooklyn game lately, you know, what this kid can do. So I think it's sky's the limit for him. He's going to have a summer for the first time. He knows again what he needs to work on. And I'm looking forward to see his growth. But again, he came in a situation where winning is important besides the development piece. And, you know, all that pressure that he was facing this year, I think will benefit him.
There's a lot there. So I guess I would say let's just go in order of what he talked about. Let's start first with how he felt about the trade and whether or not he felt like in the short term it was a swing and a miss, and kind of what to expect from that, and if it's tightened their window at all as far as like flexibility concerns go. I think he gave a pretty honest answer and one that I was sort of expecting.
Yeah. And obviously with all of these comments, whether it was that kind of stuff or then when you get closer to the specific players he was talking about, like he has done since he took this job, he's going to play everything fairly close to the chest because you don't want to give away your hand. He did not give away the hand that he was aggressively pursuing Billy Donovan. That came out of nowhere. There was one tweet that I said that said that he was, you know, maybe going to be a target for the Bulls. That was it. There was basically no smoke about the Bulls and Donovan. Same thing with the Bulls and Vooch. I know we had Bulls fans asking us, texting us, you know, calling us, do you think we can get Vooch? And what we heard was there were no talks known to anybody between the Bulls and Orlando, and that Orlando's plans were we're not trading Vooch. All of a sudden, trade deadline day, here's AK. Here, we got Vooch. So I think with all of these things, take that into account. But I, you know, for what he does feel comfortable answering, I think just like everything we've heard from him so far, it's methodical, it's logical, it's laid out in a way that when our pal Darnell asks him, is there a plan? And AK says, yes, I believe him.
I'm with you. I think 100%. The things about Markkanen are interesting, and it also goes to that theme like you're talking about, is not giving away any type of hand. I don't know if you took away more than the fact that why would he say anything? He can't really say anything. He even really admitted that. He's going to say all of those things because you don't want value to drop on him. And at the same time, I don't really know what's in store for Markkanen. I do believe AK thinks that he is a talented player. I don't know if necessarily he thinks that he fits with this team long-term or what they're trying to build in terms of money, but again, like you said, coast to the vest. I think the Patrick Williams thing also, too. I just thought about it. The Patrick Williams thing, not a lot of people knew about until like maybe about a few days, a week or so before the draft, where you started to see his name pop up alongside the Bulls, even just a couple of days before. So, like you said, every move is calculated and very, very, very quick and aggressive when opportunity arises.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll see more examples of that this offseason. There probably will be more surprises than moves that we anticipated or expected, which is a good thing, I think. Because what this fan base has gotten accustomed to or had gotten accustomed to, sadly, was that phrase you would hear from exasperated Bulls fans or myself or you, Jordan, when they would announce something, whether it was a trade, a signing. That's so Bulls, right? So predictably Bulls. Because, A, it's the type of player that Paxson and or Gar have always been obsessed with. Or it's the type of coach or the type of executive that the Reinsdorfs have always been obsessed with. So predictably Bulls. And being excited to see what AK and Eversley are going to do next, not knowing what the hell they're going to do next, Like, yeah, you could talk about, as he did, the team's weaknesses and their positions of need. You need toughness. Well, you went out and you added Tice. The deadline, there's certainly some toughness. We'll see if he sticks around. You need to be aggressive. You need to get to the free throw line more. Might they look to find somebody who is good at getting to the free throw line? And the problems on the defensive end. We got to stop committing these silly fouls. On offense, we got to stop committing these silly turnovers. So we know what he's focused on and what they're looking at. And that might give us a clue here or there based on who we know is available, theoretically. But beyond that, I mean, you're throwing darts if you're trying to guess what AK is going to do. And again, that's a good thing.
I think it does give us a better sense if you do want to kind of play the what-if game or who, you know, using the trade machine over the next couple of months, or the who could possibly be here in free agency. I think you could do all those things more aware by listening to exactly what he said in those opening statements in 2 minutes. You pointed out a couple of them, but I think one of the most consistent things has been all season is exerting a ridiculous amount of effort on one side of the ball where the Bulls look phenomenal on one side and they lose the game because they weren't as good on the other side. I think that was so many of the cases individually and just together with this team. It's why you saw a lot of comebacks from teams going on runs because they had defensive collapses or just they stopped scoring buckets for 4, 5, 6, 7 straight minutes. All of those things being said, I think that's where we can get an idea of really what they're trying to add in this offseason to strengthen this team. But I did like hearing all of that.
It was nice. It was definitely nice to hear. I got to put in my 2 cents about Lowry. I know you brought that up, as well as a couple more things before we wrap up, Jordan. First, though, wanted to tell you all about our great friends at Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar have 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavors? Jordan, I think you told you the other day the birthday cake with sprinkles flavor is coming back for a limited time. That in itself is a reason to go to BuiltBar.com right now. Plus, you got, you know, those 9 original flavors, including cherry, raspberry, coconut almond, salted caramel, mint brownie, and peanut butter brownie. If you haven't tried all these flavors, you can get a mixed box at BuiltBar.com where you'll get 2 of each of their 9 always available flavors. Not only that, Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars on the market, but they are very healthy for you too. Most of these Built Bar flavors have only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs while containing 17 grams of protein. And that dreaded C word, calories, only 130 calories. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing right now. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. The play-in tournament is going on in the NBA right now. You can bet on all of those games. If you're a White Sox or a Cubs fan, you can bet on those games seemingly nightly. If you want to bet on player props, sides, totals, or just the team to win, you can do all of that at BetOnline. Head to their website or use the mobile device today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's, again, BetOnline. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they're giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Markkanen stuff. Go. I want to hear what you have to think.
So I can't imagine that AK and Donovan love Lowry as much as they say they love Lowry. I think that there are other elements at play here, namely if it is still remotely possible to get something out of him in a sign and trade, they don't want to say, yeah, Lowry had a disappointing year and we'll probably be saying goodbye to him in his restricted free agency. What good does that do them? It does them no good to say that. So were they propping up Lowry with their comments, both coach and executive? Yes. But AK wasn't wrong to say that Lowry had a career best mark behind the three-point line this season, and that beyond anything else that we have maybe hoped he could be or could become at some point in the NBA, ideally in a Bulls jersey, he's always been known as that, a threat behind the three-point line. The dude's 7 feet tall and he plays like he's 5'8". Whatever. He can knock down threes, and he did so with the best three-point percentage of his career this season. That's not BS. That's AK saying something that Lowry did that was good. So who knows? When you couple it with what Lowry said in his exit interview and the, you know, looking forward to exploring the business side of this and seeing what options are available and I want to be a focal point and all that, sure as shit sounds like he's gone, because the Bulls have a lot of work to do and a lot of roster changes to make, and paying that dude who got benched for Daniel Tice doesn't really sound like a piece that they're going to be coughing up a lot of money for, does it?
No, and it would just take another avenue, too, to figure out what you're going to do with the Aminu contract that you just guaranteed for next year, too. So that's $10 right. million, and whether or not you move that, you can move that in trades.
And you can stretch and waive that and save $7 million towards next season's cap, but, you know.
There's avenues to do that. It just makes it more difficult if Lowry's in your plans. And I would assume that talking with him having his exit interview with Billy Donovan 2 days ago, I'm assuming that was part of their conversations, is like, hey, am I going to play 25, 30 minutes a night? Am I going to be closing games? Those are the types of things I think Lowry wants to do. He's admitted that. He said that. You're right, though. He did point out the efficiency thing. It's funny when your usage goes down like by 10% compared to last year, where your efficiency numbers go, and there's no line. He is a great shooter. He can't do the other things, though. Do them consistently and stay on the floor consistently. You know, I cracked a joke at him last week about him, you know, nothing's more fitting than watching Lowry chuck up a bunch of bricks in the fourth quarter from three and stand around and do nothing. Those are the types of things that can't continue to happen if you're going to build around him. I also, too, wonder if it goes back to what we were just talking about with AK, what he had mentioned in March, like 3 weeks before the trade deadline, about this mentality of this team, the way that this team thinks and the way that they operate needs to change. Is he part of that group? You know, as much as Carter, mm-hmm. as much as I said I thought Carter was. I don't know. Maybe you did.
Right. As much as you could make the argument that Wendell was mentally soft in some way, that, like, he would let one mistake compound on several others and he would lose confidence in game immediately. And if you deny that and the eye test that exists to back that up, then I don't know what kind of Wendell Stan Island you're still living on. Shout out to our pal Marquet. But I think you could say the same thing about Lowry being soft and AK saying this team needs to be aggressive. And, you know, this string of coaches, Fred said it, he who must not be named said it, in slightly kinder terms, Donovan has spoken to it also, and AK said it. This team needs to get tougher. Do the words Lowry Markkanen and tough belong together? No, not unless you shove the word ain't between Lowry Markkanen and tough.
It's true, and I'm not gonna all of a sudden brand you as tough just because you went and tried to posterize a guy in a meaningless game one time. You know, like, those little things don't show me toughness. It's are you willing to bang bodies for 30 minutes and try to go down low when you're not knocking down your 3-point shot? Are you willing to take a charge? Are you willing to get an elbow stuck in you when you're playing defense? Like, those little things, just. That, I think you're right. I think, but not by naming the guys specifically or individually. I think it left it open to interpretation, is like, hey, this is what we think overall about this team. Pick a side. Which one are you? And it kind of showed, even after they dealt Wendell, it showed in games that were important. So maybe it's a fresh start that he needs, and maybe that's exactly what he needs. But still, the Bulls have some options, too. It's not like they all of a sudden aren't going to get anything. They can see what he wants to do, and they get the ultimate final call if he's signed to an offer sheet. So it'll be interesting right. to see who's involved.
With that, you know, before I get too depressed about, you know, bashing a guy who I very much believed in a couple of years ago and even at the start of this year, let's wrap up, Jordan, with some of his thoughts from the youngsters, Kobe and P-Dub, because I thought that there was some really interesting stuff there from AK talking about what he saw for both of those guys. I'll toss it to you, and you can start with whichever one you want, Kobe or P-Dub. What rang out to you the most with AK's comments of those two young players?
I think his confidence level in what he's seen from Patrick Williams and why he's so confident about it. Like, I could talk for days about Kobe, and I think Kobe's done a great job, but I think there's just this sense of confidence in Patrick Williams and just saying, hey, that one thing we need you to do is take all the skills that we are confident you have, build off of those, but be aggressive. And it's crazy. It kind of goes back to the theme of this entire team. What we were literally just talking about is, you have to use your skills and be aggressive and be kind of a dog. I hate to use a JB term, but sort of be a dog. I think Patrick Williams has
that. He's a baller.
He balls. I think.
Did you know he's a football player, Jordan? He's a football player.
The football player is in the playoffs right now. If you're talking about Shaq Harrison,
just squeal.
On Patrick Williams, though, I think he has a different sense for what he can go through, even his ups and downs early, than maybe he's gotten a sense of what Lowry or Wendell or X, Y, and Z player, young player that hasn't really found a role here. I think there's something different about Patrick Williams. I can't yet point it out, but I've loved what I've saw all year long. I think that was the most surprising, though, is his confidence level in the skills that Patrick Williams already has and not necessarily needs to develop.
Right. And piggybacking off of that, my favorite thing that I heard AK say about P-Dub was, because this is great medicine for Bulls fans, and you and I were just doing our part to try and calm down the people freaked out in Bulls Nation about P-Dub's underwhelming stats or his lack of shots. He said, I don't think there's a player on this roster who we asked more of them from, who we asked to do more than Patrick Williams, a 19-year-old rookie. And you might look at that comment and say, well, what are you talking about? You're saying that the person you asked to do the most on this team this season was a rookie who on some nights was only taking one or two shots? That doesn't make sense. But then he laid it out for you because AK's a smart dude. And he said and went through all of the different ways in which they put a lot on a 19-year-old rookie's plate this season. Oh, did we tell you you're starting? Because you're starting. Did we tell you that you're guarding the best offensive weapon our opponent has every night, regardless of what position they play? Because you're doing that too. And then on top of that, whenever you feel comfortable to jack up a corner three or get the ball, put your head down, drive to the basket, give us help on the offensive end when you can. AK knows that that was a lot. That was a lot to put on the plate of responsibility of someone who is as young as he is and who is a rookie, especially in a season like this, which can't be said enough times. So glad to hear AK say that, because those among this fan base who are worried about P-Dub after what they might call an underwhelming rookie campaign, I'm saying, y'all, between what we know about Patrick Williams, his character, his work ethic, and the raw skills that he already has, and they just are tools that need to be sharpened a little bit for this kid to really take off, and what his executive basketball operations boss knows about him and the appreciation AK already has for the rookie year that P-Dub had, all of that to me is bubbling up for something good, not something to worry about.
You think about it too, it's like we forget that there wasn't an all-star next to P-Dub, especially down low and having to play defense night in and night out. Vooch wasn't there forever. Daniel Tice wasn't there forever. It was guys like Wendell. It was guys like having to play small ball with Thad. And I'm actually, now that you think, and now that I think about it, that's a really good point by you. I think the interesting thing about Patrick Williams is he was called out even for the sense of like, stop being so hesitant about taking a shot or being aggressive and taking a couple of shots. Like, we talked about the Garrett Temple passing it back and forth to him, and it's like, shoot the damn ball. Even Donovan, like, as of like 2 or 3 weeks ago, when people were harping on him over that stretch when Zach was out and he wasn't scoring, it's like, yeah, maybe a little bit fault on PETA, but he's just playing his role. He knew what he was supposed to do this season, and that's play defense. And ultimately, that helped the Bulls win a lot of games this year. I think it's all going to come together, though, man. I really do. For P-Dub, it's just about not having to have the pressure maybe Markkanen had in year one or two, or guys like Carter or Kobe to be that main guy right away. That being said, man, he's, I think everybody should be very excited in what he's going to do. I'm excited to how he hits the weight room for the entire summer, what he's going to look like next year, and how that plays out.
Especially he's already capable of trucking people. Like, you saw that this season. He can body people, man.
Dude, can you imagine, like, when he's going to get bigger, stronger, more aggressive? We're going to start seeing some posters from P-Dub.
Right?
Like, so massive, like, posters.
What I'm envisioning is like a new age Sean Kemp Kawhi hybrid.
Yes.
And I can't freaking wait for it.
Dude, like, and I even think about the skill set OG has on the defensive end of the ball. Like, that is the very type of Patrick Williams type of player, the new age of being able to shoot threes, defend all five positions. It's super exciting, and we've talked about Kobe a lot, so I don't think we necessarily need to talk about him extensively, because I think we've given him his due and saying he's had ups and downs this season, but for the most part, he's learned to develop from those. Again, I just say Mo Cheeks, invaluable this season. Garrett Temple, invaluable this season. Thad Young, invaluable this season. And I think to a certain extent, Thomas Satoransky, too, invaluable this season in what Kobe could learn. Overall, I think that they are very happy with what Kobe can bring. I think a little bit, still a lot to work on for him, but he even talked about specifically, we listened to it, adding the guys that could pass that aren't point guards was essential in Kobe having a bounce back. And I think that is 100% true. We talked about all the teams that run their offense through their bigs now, whether it be Golden right. State, Denver, whoever you want to name. And I think that ultimately helped a shooter like Kobe.
Certainly, because, you know, speaking of P-Dub and having a lot of pressure put on him and a lot of responsibility, same can be said for a second-year guard, Kobe White, this season, who, to his credit, earned the starting job in training camp. And obviously there were some rocky periods there where he and Zach were trying to feel out exactly how to be a starting backcourt unit together, and turnovers were an issue. Kobe over dribbling was an issue. Kobe's court vision was an issue. Kobe's entry passes were an issue. But if you give him a little time to percolate and work on all of those things, and I think you can see evidence of all of those facets of being a ball handling guard improve from the beginning of this season to the end of this season with Kobe. Also letting him operate off the ball much more, because we've always known watching him at UNC and certainly his rookie year, that he can be lethal as a threat off the ball. Catch and shoot Kobe is the best Kobe. And that's not to say that that's the only version of Kobe that can exist, but play to your strengths, right? Don't play to your weaknesses, play to your strengths. And off the ball threat Kobe is a big damn strength. So the arrival of Vooch opened up a lot of opportunities for Kobe to play better. And, you know, he's handling the ball less. He's turning the ball over less. And over the course of, okay, I'm fixing these things. There's this new rotation, a new piece that I have to work with. This piece that I'm throwing the ball to is racking me up better assist numbers every night because he's not turning the ball over and or afraid to shoot, afraid to look at the basket, for crying out loud. So, yeah, Vooch's arrival helped Kobe in so many ways. And assuming that he's around next season, and I think he will be, I can't wait to see how that helps Kobe continue to improve.
I think Thad gets a lot of credit. As much as we give him credit for helping Zach along, I think he's helped Kobe in a lot of ways, especially when he was benched and then coming off the bench, sort of in a tandem, playing more minutes with Thad than he was with other bigs. I think that helped. And I think Daniel Theis, too, is an underrated passer, man. He doesn't get enough credit for the types of passes he's able to draw defenders, draw guys off. Your point about the catch-and-shoot thing, I think, is undersold by a lot of Bulls fans. Like, we talked about it right at the start of March. We're talking about Markkanen and, like, dude, what's up with him? Like, why is he doing this? This was pre-benching. And I told you, I was like, it's some ridiculous stat. Casey Johnson and Rob Schaefer were keeping track of like, how many point, what percentage of points is Lowry getting off of assist?
It was up, and it was like 85 or something, it was crazy. Like
something
that.
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And then we looked at the entire team, and the only two dudes that were able to get a shot off the dribble on their own consistently were Zach and Kobe. You change that up by having multiple passers in your offense now, things opened up and you allowed Kobe to be the guy he was. There were so many times where he went to the basket, missed a free throw, didn't get a foul call for him, hung his head, got mad at the refs, and I think it disrupted a lot of his game. Now that I'm kind of processing and thinking it back, it's interesting. I think there's a lot to be hopeful, even though the disappointment might still be there with the playoffs and missing the play-in if you're still one of those people hoping for that. I think there's a lot of optimism going into next season, and I'm very, very excited to continue through this offseason.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be tough to wait that long while we're watching all these other teams play their playoff series, and at least that in itself will be a nice distraction for those of us who are not just Bulls fans but NBA junkies like you and me, Jordan. And it'll feel like a long wait to see all this, you know, this mini season post trade that felt like its own season and it didn't go the way we wanted it to. And now we're just impatiently waiting for, okay, What are Zach and Vooch capable of doing next? What are Kobe and P-Dub capable of doing next? And what are the other pieces that are going to be here around them? And we want to know that now, and we want the 21-22 season to start tomorrow, because that's how passionate Bulls fans are. But just for some perspective and to frame it in a positive way, here's some good news. It is the middle of May right now, mid to late May. The Bulls, assuming the NBA goes back to the closer normal season, which is why they accelerated the crap out of this season, will be playing competitive basketball again in 5 months, a shade over 5 months. Compare that to the 10-month offseason we just suffered through. Bless all of your hearts, we suffered through it together. This offseason, between the lottery, the draft, free agency, all on top of the NBA playoff action we still have ahead of us, and then training camp for the final stretch, it's going to go like that. It's going to go so quickly, and we're going to be back and excited for a new season before you know it.
It's going to be fun because it's actually going to be talk that matters, like matters in terms of getting to the playoffs or what an impact player could mean. Like, guys with actual staying power are going to be interested in coming to the Bulls. Not potential stars, but like guys that can fill key roles that you didn't think would be part of the conversation even a year or two ago. I'm so excited for it. Not, are we getting a G League? Are we getting a summer league this year?
So that was one of the other things that I think was kind of a hidden gem, an Easter egg, if you will, from all of these conversations that Billy and AK had. They both sounded very much so like they've gotten the unofficial word from the league. Summer league's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in August. It hasn't been officially announced to the press yet, to the fans yet, but everything that they were talking about makes it sound like that's going to happen.
Interesting. I mean, that's only good things for P-Dub too. Like, we'll get a chance to see P-Dub, some of the younger players too. We'll get to see whoever they decide with the second round pick, and who knows, man, maybe they end up with a top four pick and we do see another guy in there. All of that considering the fact that we still got a lot of young players on this team.
Dude, unleash P-Dub on summer league rosters and he will put up 25-10-5.
I should say first, hopefully he's involved. I would like to see him play. Hopefully Opsin, if that is
given
the case,
that he was robbed of his incoming rookie year summer league, I would guess that, yeah, they'll have P-Dub play.
Devin Dotson will play. You get a couple of other guys that you haven't seen all season play, as well as maybe trying some younger players out too. That being said, I'm very optimistic, very excited for what's to come this offseason, and I'm glad that they put some emphasis on the importance of this offseason too. They might say that every single year until the day that they're fired from the Bulls, but at least we're hearing that they're putting some urgency and some emphasis on this. So give us your reaction, though, and anything you've heard over the last 2 days, anything that we haven't addressed so far from any players' exit interviews. We're going to continue to go through those throughout the week, as well as do a mailbag episode. So get your mailbag questions in at 331-979-1369. Your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.